much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Well, well, well. How the turntables.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
What the heck? There's a pink bag on my chair?
Yeah, it's just a whoopee cushion. It's a prank.
On me?
No, it's just a joke.
What's the joke exactly?
What do you mean?
My farts don't sound anything like that. My farts are long and way louder, and they reek. So what's the joke? That I had a milder fart than I normally do? That nobody's puking from my fart? Is that the joke? That I farted and no one barfed? Because that's pretty funny, actually.
And now...
It's a bright and shiny day. It's a bright and shiny day.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 18th of June.
What's up, kleptos?
It's back.
Had a little break, right?
A day.
Took a day off.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I had extreme testicle pain yesterday. I needed to get right to my doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Which is you guys. I heard from a number of people who said that, what's it called? Testicular torsion? Does that sound right?
Ooh.
That sounds awful. Yeah, it sounds like a medical term.
Yes. And apparently it can be very serious, but the pain has abated.
Oh, good.
And I'm happy to say that I think I'm going to be okay.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I had no time for small talk yesterday.
Yeah, prayers up.
Had to get right to it.
Correct.
But now I'm back. And now you're all kleptos, especially you, Allie, because of all the hearts you steal.
Boom!
Yeah, okay. Boom!
You're a deal guy.
Nope. What's up, you guys?
Hey.
You know, just stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like
I feel
normal,
that.
Normal Tuesday stuff,
I feel that.
Right?
I feel like you guys are surprised each day when I ask, how's it going? What's up?
I mean...
What's new?
Every day isn't... a golden day. So when you ask us today what yesterday was like, we go, yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a normal answer, I think.
Well, you're not living the dream like I
are
am.
Are we not? Mm.
Yeah. Every day is exciting.
So how was yesterday for you?
Not too bad.
All right. See how that works.
No, I do have an update on my day yesterday, but we have to save it because we have a segment carved out for being marathon runner. I'll give you an update on my training.
If you don't mind, let's just start with being as a runner, and then we'll decide down the road.
Runner.
Yeah. I know.
Runner.
I understand that.
I'm trying to decide if I want to do 100 marathons or 500 marathons. I'm trying to decide what's a reasonable goal at my age.
That means he's decided not to do any.
Doesn't mean that at all.
That's what it means.
Wait till you hear about how my training is going. And Jensen, you're still training?
I did not run yesterday, but I ran the day before.
Okay.
That's how you want to do it, right? I mean, one day on, one day off?
You do that. That would be strong.
You put in a day. I mean, let's look at it that way.
Yeah.
One day.
Okay.
If I run today, it looks like a schedule.
Right.
If I don't run today, I'm just not running.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, look, and I want to make this very clear, and I know we will talk about it later, and then I have a thing to get to. It's not a competition. I'm not.
I thought you were going to say it's not a race.
Right.
No.
It technically is a race.
It is a race, but it's not a competition between you, me, and Beer Mug. Honestly,
no.
The point is, whoever can finish wins.
Yes.
Essentially, it doesn't matter time or anything like that.
No.
That's not what we're going.
But
you're going to
make Beer Mug carry you, right?
That's a great idea. I love that.
Right.
Like a backpack.
Yep.
That's a fantastic
piggyback ride.
I have a bunch of baby Bjorns.
Yeah. There
stitch
you go.
Them all together. Put you in one.
All right, speaking of health, I love this story. There are some celebrities who, as you know, should not be thin. They look ridiculous thin. I think Reverend Al comes to mind as a guy who just looks freaky now that he lost all the weight. Looked like a regular guy back when he had the weight. Looks ridiculous as a thin person.
Mm-hmm.
You guys all agree, right?
Yeah,
but I'm not sure if they started out as a thin person, you'd probably accept them fine. But you saw them earlier as a heavier person.
No, that's not true because I don't think you don't look the same as a thin person and then you gain a couple hundred pounds and then you lose that weight. I think your proportions get all out of whack.
Okay. You're saying you see skinny people and you go, oh, that looks weird, even if you've never seen them fat.
If they used to be fat and now they're thin.
Well, you'd have to know that.
Yes, and I think some of it has to do with the skin and just some of it has to do with the proportions get all whacked.
How long were they fat?
I don't know. That's not the point. The point is that Penn Gillette.
How did they gain the weight?
Penn Jillette for
me. Is it in carbs or like genetics?
Yeah.
Is a guy who looks, I thought looked
better.
How'd
they lose the weight then?
Right.
Okay, that's what I'm getting to.
Was it surgery?
Okay.
That's what I'm getting to.
Okay.
So Penn Jillette, who is a guy we adore, we've had on this program many times. We've seen the show in Las Vegas. He is a brilliant man. He's a hilarious man. He's one of the best magicians that ever lived. I don't think he looks good skinny. I don't know about you guys. How do you feel when you see Penn?
I don't know that I've seen him skinny.
Okay. Well, in 2014, he was 6'6", still is, and weighed 330 pounds.
Wow, that's shocking.
That's bigger than I thought he'd be.
Yeah,
yeah, big dude. So same height as me, outweighed me by about 120 pounds, all right? So he was, as you can imagine, had trouble walking upstairs. He got winded speaking full sentences. He had been hospitalized for high blood pressure. He had a heart blockage of 90%. He was on 6 different medications, and he had a real come-to-Jesus meeting with his doctor who said, look, you are going to die unless you get serious about this. You're out of control. I advise you to get your stomach stapled and lose about 100 pounds. That's what you need to do. For whatever reason, Penn did not want to do that.
Huh.
So he instead decided to do some internet research.
All right. That's the best.
Didn't want to do surgery, but he did some internet research, and he came up with something that he thought would work for him. All right? So here's what he has to say about it. And by the way, this is four years later now since he did lose the weight, and the weight is still off.
Wow.
Okay? He's 65 years old. He was recently interviewed by the Los Angeles Times and says this. My first tip is, if you take health advice from a Las Vegas magician, you're an idiot. That said, my advice is, and this is where he goes counter to the way most of us think, my advice is make it hard. Easy is your enemy. Don't believe those articles that say just cut down your portions by 20% or skip desserts or cut out sodas. That all seems logical, but that doesn't work for me. I want to lose a pound a day. I wanted to see the scale go like this, and he points straight down. So he went for a radical change in diet. Whole food, plant-based, hardcore vegan, vegetables, no processed food, no sugar. And here's the part that really got my attention. He limits his eating to just 1 hour a day.
Whoa.
What? He is always fasting for 23 hours of every day.
Whoa. That's not even intermittent fasting?
No.
That's
yes.
Like, that's so extreme.
Yes. He says that intermittent fasting, too few calories was the norm for all, he calls it intermittent, was the norm for all of history until recently. Now, in this short blip of time, we all have too many calories and it overwhelms us, clogs our arteries, fogs our brains. So that's what he does now. He kind of goes back to caveman days, he says. He says, I started writing at twice the speed. We got much more material at Penn & Teller. Everything went better. I can walk the stairs. And by the way, he also qualifies vegan. He said, vegan doesn't even cover it. Oreos are vegan. You got to cut out all processed foods, throw out the pasta, throw out the bread. He eats a huge amount of salad, steamed vegetables, and brown rice. Yes, it was hard. You feel strange and different. It took 3 years to not want a chocolate shake or a cheeseburger. But he says it works for him, and he's just sharing it with people who care. I don't think that most of us could not eat for 23 hours a day.
No, that takes discipline that I do not have.
And by the way, that 1 hour isn't like he's going to a buffet. He's still eating brown rice and steamed vegetables.
Yeah. He says, I don't respect moderation. In my whole life, I've always thought the easy way is not fun. So the way I lost weight made me proud because it was hardcore. So there you go, Muggs, or whoever happens to be listening. 100 pounds, you guys.
That's amazing.
He's kept it off all these years later. And I guess part of the reason I brought it up is, A, he looks ridiculous thin. But, B, we've heard about a million different diet plans. I've never heard of this one before.
I've never heard of this. No, intermittent. I get it's like 16 hours off, 8 on, something like that.
Isn't this just a mixture of 3 or 4 other things?
Yeah, I mean, it sort of furthers being in my thought that jail sounds okay,
right?
Because an hour a day—that's kind of what you're out of your cell. You could eat what you want and then go back in.
Go back
3 hours.
Yeah.
That also seems extreme.
Well,
a little.
Well, apparently you don't want to lose the weight, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Not like that.
Bean and I are motivated.
I'd want to see his levels, like his cholesterol level, his heart rate, everything. I feel like just eating an hour a day, how does that sustain you for the other 23?
Not healthy.
I feel like his blood pressure would be all out of whack.
Yeah, you feel like your body would need something from you.
Yeah.
And I also have this question, and then we'll move on, and that is, how do you stop from losing weight? Because this, to me, sounds like you're on a program that is going to – you're going to starve eventually. You know what I mean? You're losing a pound a day. At some point, you need to stop that when you get to your goal weight.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. He doesn't address what he's doing there. It makes it sound like he's still doing the same thing he was doing.
It's not realistic. It's just not realistic.
Agreed.
Okay.
The book is called Presto, How I Made Over 100 Pounds Disappear and Other Magical Tales, if you want to check it out from Pendulet.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
You're desperate, you're sad, you're losers.
Bean is a runner. That's what we're going to find out.
Marathon runner.
About 20 minutes. Well, right. I mean, you haven't run a marathon yet, so you're a runner.
Yeah, but
You're a runner.
Technically, I'm a euchre, too, but I can't play the ukulele.
I identify as a euchre. I'm an astronaut then, too. I just haven't
But I identify as a euchre and a marathoner.
I see.
And I'll sue you if you don't accept that.
You know the Impossible Burgers?
I do.
Created by demons to kill all of us.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys know that?
No.
I didn't
know until yesterday that if you eat an Impossible Burger, you spit in the face of God.
Shocking.
Wow.
MTV has another award show called the Movie and TV Awards, and Beer Mug was on the red carpet.
Oh.
And he got some interviews.
I bet he talked to The Rock. The Rock was the big honoree of the night.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I still have to go through a few more, but I didn't hear The Rock at first listen. Yeah,
Got Zachary Levi, the host.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that's there as well.
Sure.
Okay.
Because why would he go otherwise?
Right.
Why are you following me, O.J. Simpson, on Twitter?
Seriously, people.
That's a weird subset of people who just are fascinated with him for some reason. So we're going to talk about that coming up this morning. And comedian Jonah Ray will join us in studio. We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
We've got your four packs of passes to the Disneyland Resort on the program today. Keep listening for your chance to win, and you can head to KROQ.com for another chance as well. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, were you guys Hunger Games fans, whether it was the book or the movies?
Yep.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay.
Nah.
All right, you had a weird-looking face
I didn't want to be the one guy who says no. I mean, I read the book and was like, sure.
All right. Sure.
That's what they were going for.
That was the review.
Yeah, the first movie. It was like, sure, and then never anything else.
All right. Well, Kevin, the Hunger Games author, Susan Collins, is working on a prequel to the beloved young adult dystopian novels, set to be released in less than a year. So you know what that means. Lionsgate, the studio behind the Jennifer Lawrence-led franchise of blockbuster films based on the books, is already in talks to develop the book as a movie.
Sure.
The story will be set 64 years before the events of the Hunger Games, on the morning of the reaping of the 10th annual Hunger Games, an era commonly referred to in the series as the Dark Days. All right. Who's with me?
I'm in so far.
How much do you think the four Hunger Games films have grossed, you know, combined worldwide box office?
$1.7 billion.
Okay.
I'm going to say I think they were big, not that big. I'm going to say $700 million.
All right. $2.9 billion.
I was going to say, it's funny you didn't ask me. I was going to say $2.9
billion. Were you? Okay. No. You would have been right on, you guys.
Whoa.
$2.9 billion at the worldwide box office. Lionsgate has also licensed the film for theme parks, live concert tours. So a prequel movie seems right up their alley.
Somebody ought to have a rifle on that author and just force her to start churning out more books.
I'm not positive that's how it works.
I don't think those books would be good.
It's how you do your best writing, just under a lot of pressure.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, she's a cash cow.
Lady. I need to call her a cow.
I mean, ladies love being called a cow. I mean, what's happening? You guys, Boy George, he's got that upcoming biopic being made by MGM. And he appeared on Australian radio and talked about some of the really interesting suggestions on who would be playing him.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that Australian radio show, I think we found our new name.
Oh, good.
Fitzy and Whippa.
I like it.
I mean, I feel like we need to just, when Bean leaves, just rebrand completely.
We need to
change our names.
Kevin, you're no longer Kevin.
Okay.
So, like, along the lines of Fitzy and Whippa.
Why not just be Fitzy and Whippa?
Yeah, I agree. Let's
not steal Australia.
We did that to Meowoki. We could take
it. We did steal an Atlanta Station's bit.
So, Kevin would be Fitzy.
Uh-huh.
Allie, you would be Whippa, obviously.
I'd like to be the Goont.
And the Goont. Yeah. Fitzy, Whippa, and the Goont.
Yeah.
How do you spell Goont?
G-O-O-N-T.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was a U.
Oh, no, you can't
do that.
Okay. Because and the shirt's not wearing a shirt. You can't just put Goont and it's spelled G-U-N-T.
Right, totally right. Plus the O's you can make into little eyeballs.
Yes. My eyeball.
Yes.
Done.
Fitzy, you know, Whippa and the Goont.
We weren't planning on having yes. this meeting so soon in the year, but I think it's good that we've got that out there.
I mean, no need for a meeting now.
Right, right.
It's been decided.
Sold.
Okay, there is a point to the story. They were he was on this
Australian radio show.
And he said one of the most interesting suggestions to play him was Sophie Turner. And for those of you that said, well, she can't play you, she's a woman. Boy George said, when I was 17, I would have loved to have been her. I mean, wouldn't we all?
Sure.
Like, I'd like to be her now. But Turner's been all over the news recently. Game of Thrones, the release of Dark Phoenix, the wedding to Joe Jonas, tweeted that she is, quote, so down to play Boy George.
All right.
So there you have it, guys.
It's a good choice.
All right. You guys.
I mean, Tilda Swinton plays lots of men in the movies.
True.
You know, it all depends on the writing, directing, makeup, sure. everything else. Eh?
Sure.
She's a good actress. Why not?
This is something that I'm not sure will work, but I'm interested to see if anyone gets it. Amazon is now selling a bracelet that delivers a 350-volt electric shock every time you commit one of your bad habits. That could be eating too much food, smoking, sleeping past your alarm, anything you want to discourage yourself from doing. It's going to cost you $200, but how does it know?
How does it know?
Well, every time you misbehave, you're supposed to administer the shock yourself.
What? That's not...
Yeah, the idea being that
not
it's
going
to rewire your brain to associate that activity with the Uncomfortable Zap. Yeah, we know how it works, but if people were accountable, they wouldn't be buying this bracelet. Right. But here's the thing. Your friends can also download an app.
Oh, no.
That this has nothing to do with habits.
No.
That appoints them as, quote, digital guardians.
Nope.
Able to give you that buzz if they spot you breaking the rules.
Not my friends.
Whippa, no.
Oh, I think so. I think Fitzy.
Fritz also says no.
Oh, you're Fitzy.
Fitzy,
I don't know
whoever.
Who Fritz is. But Fitzy is going to get this, and Whippa and Goont. Goont?
Goont. The Goont.
Are going to administer 150 shocks per charge.
I don't see that happening.
So depending on how much of a rule breaker you are, it could... Chip, absolutely. But Chip needs a name now. Wonka. Yeah.
I like it.
Fitzy, Whippa, the Goont, and Wonka. So every time he goes to press a button, Wonka's just all... Zip.
I don't feel like that's a great idea at all.
Let's go ahead and order it.
I like it. $200. I mean, just to see Kevin, like, I'm in. And by Kevin, Fitzy.
300. What'd you say? 350 volts?
Yes. 150 per charge.
I think it's more charge when you do it to yourself, less charge when you allow your friends to do it. Yes.
I guess my question is, what does that feel like compared to? I mean, obviously, it's not taser level. What does it feel like?
Manish Sethi says that while it isn't as powerful as a shock from a taser, it does deliver enough voltage to shock you when you jump, like if you were to touch a doorknob after rubbing your socks on the carpet.
All right.
So
that's unpleasant.
It is unpleasant.
I would have done something like that because I don't like that I bite my nails.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have done something like that if I didn't have to administer it myself.
Yeah, I feel like nobody is really going to, unless you're a complete masochist, I don't think people will administer that themselves.
Yeah, I agree.
Fitzy, you're in, though?
Not if you guys have control over mine, no.
Oh, Whippa the Goont and Wonka.
No.
Really?
No. Negative.
We would love to control yours.
Yeah, I know. Negative.
Okay, well, I mean, I ordered it, so we'll see how it goes. Happy birthday to Josh Dunn, drummer for 21 Pilots, Blake Shelton, Richard Madden. Did you hear that they're thinking of Bodyguard 2?
Yeah. Working hard on making it happen.
I love him.
How could it not? The first one was so great.
It was so great.
Richard Madden, he's an actor also, other than Good Charlotte.
Different guy, and that was Joel and Benji.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This might be the brother they don't talk about.
Mm. Right.
He's a football coach, right?
That's John Madden.
That's John.
Yeah. And Paul McCartney, who you might remember from such hits as Kevin Hanging Up on Him.
I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to do this again, Sir Paul, but thank you so much for the time. It's a real honor to have you on the program today.
That's a really nice interview. So, I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Let's make it a date.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you guys. Bye.
Oops.
By the way, I have...
What he was saying... He was saying goodbye.
He was done, you guys.
He was saying, by the way, I'd like to offer you all of the Beatles records. So your families will be set for generations.
You know
you
that?
You don't know that he wasn't.
Yeah, don't know true. That he wasn't.
That is true.
Paul McCartney. Linus.
Down, boy. The running landscape in the United States is about to change, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bean is a runner.
Oh, I'm the modern run force run.
Yeah, we have pre-Fontaine and now post-Fontaine.
Exactly.
Look. What's the old Chinese expression about the longest journey begins with a simple step?
Right.
Okay? Just a single step, I mm-hmm. guess, is what it actually says. Not a simple step. So this, at Weenie Roast, we started talking about how fun it would be for all of us on the show, including you, Fitzy, including you, Pippa, or whatever your name is, to run a marathon.
Fitzy's out.
Yeah.
Fitzy's already out?
Yeah, because...
That was Wizza.
Wizza's out,
Pippa. I don't remember my name.
Listen, the Goot is still in. That's all that matters.
Okay.
Is it. So, surprisingly, I got some support from the Goot and also from Beer Mug, and who also still needs a new name, I guess. So, I started thinking very seriously about this. And again, the setup for this is that I... Just like with my tattoo, by the way, it's not like something I dreamed about my whole life and now I'm finally going to do it. I'm finally committed to doing it. It was a whim, mm-hmm. you guys. It was just, it came out of nowhere.
It was wild. You just out of nowhere said, I want to run a marathon.
Right. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, not that I look forward to running a marathon, but how great would it be to be a guy who has run a marathon? How fantastic is that to say, oh yeah, I did that.
You're doing it for the resume.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
And the gram, obviously.
Sure.
Right. So I started thinking about it. I thought, well, I've never run before. So if I'm going to run a marathon, I guess I need to get started at some point. So Sunday, well, first of all, I did a bunch of research on the internet because there's a million sites and pages and books and
advice.
Well,
then you're done. That's it. Run the marathon.
There's so much advice out there on how to run a marathon. And one of the things that I realized I needed on Sunday was I needed a decent pair of shoes. Okay. Because, as you know, I most of the time, 100% of the time, I'm either wearing leather shoes or I'm wearing Converse All-Stars. Mm-hmm. And I understand you can't run in Converse All-Stars, right? They have no support at all.
Too flat.
Right. So I dug into storage and I found a couple of boxes with new tennis shoes in them, including a pair of Adidas that looked pretty decent. Put them on. I'm ready to go. So Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, I left the house mm-hmm. in these shoes.
Can I guess?
And I ran.
Can I guess?
I ran so far away. Yes, you can guess.
Step.
Oh, no. But two steps?
Yes, you got,
you got two steps in. Okay.
Two in, yeah.
Sounds like more than Allie was expecting. How far do you think I ran?
I'm going to say a quarter of a mile.
Quarter of a mile. All right, there and back. Now, we're talking about the whole distance from the time I left my house to the time I got back. How far did I run?
Is it cheating to ask what you consider a run? Because I'm trying to figure out if you're running or you're doing like a brisk jog or a sprint.
I can answer that. He's not sprinting.
Yes, okay. I'm definitely not sprinting. I didn't want to – look, you don't want to pull a hammy or something,
right?
You don't want to overdo it the first time. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get hurt out of the gate.
Okay.
So I jogged. Mm-hmm. And there may have been some walking
that's
involved.
That's okay, yeah. All right,
also,
intermittent.
A little bit of walking, yeah.
I'll say you did a mile, bud.
I did two.
Listen to him.
Ladies
two
and gentlemen.
Feet.
Miles. Two miles.
Okay. 2 miles.
All right.
I did 2 miles, and I will tell you.
I'm a little shocked by that.
That it felt good.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I liked it.
Wow.
Although I developed an enormous blister on the back of my right foot.
And there it is.
enormous blister.
Were you there wearing it is. A tiny sock? Were you wearing a... What kind of sock were you wearing?
A regular athletic sock, sweat sock.
That's the wrong shoe for you, bud.
Oh, what does that mean?
It's rubbing up against your... You need to get something that's better. Like, we'll talk about it off air because it's kind of boring. But basically mm-hmm. where it sits on the back of your foot, it just... You need to figure out where it's most comfortable.
But because my foot is not used to being calloused or anything like that, isn't it? Can I put a bandage on that and or a Band-Aid on that and it'll rough up? It'll callous up and
Band-Aid's
then I'll be
okay. Fine. But also, I mean, long term, you might just want to get a shoe that sits in a better place for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 2 miles, I'm feeling pretty good about that. Had a hot fudge sundae. And then
Wait, sorry, what?
I said I ran 2 miles. And then the next day... I started. I thought, well,
you said hot fudge sundae.
I heard hot fudge sundae.
I never said anything like that.
No, I never heard you say you ate one.
Weird. Those words didn't come out of my mouth. I've never even heard of a hot fudge. I don't even know what a hot fudge sundae is. Mm-hmm. So then yesterday comes around, and I go, all right, what's, again, I don't have a coach. All I know is what's on the internet. What's my training regimen here? Mm-hmm. And I had a very busy day yesterday with a lot of errands and a lot of running around, and the last thing I had to do was go to the market and pick up a bunch of stuff for me and for Linus. And I bought a big ass burrito.
Yes, good.
And I got back and I thought, I should have this big ass burrito. But then I thought, but then I'm going to feel terrible. I'm not going to want to run. I should run first.
Oh.
And then I should have the big ass burrito.
Ooh, this is nice.
Nice dedication.
Yeah.
And it's like the carrot on a stick, except it's way better than a carrot because it's a big ass burrito. Mm-hmm. So I put it up there on Twitter that I was thinking about running because I ran yesterday, but I also have this big ass burrito. And I don't know what's going on with our listeners. They are not supportive because 100% of people say,
I mean, they know
go,
you.
Go for the burrito.
They do know you.
Well, I don't think that's people not being supportive. It's people that dig burritos.
Yeah.
I love burritos. I would have chosen burrito.
Burrito over anything,
yes.
Pretty much. Yeah. Burrito was looking real good, man. It
was did you run or burrito?
It was called and then I sat there and I pondered it and I thought about it. I thought, man, should I run 2 days in a row? And then I thought, that could be dangerous. I don't know. Like I said, I don't have a coach. You run that second day, you could break a leg or something.
Sure.
Right. It's common.
You know, I don't want to Santa Anita situation here where I have to be put down because I've overexerted
myself. You're basically Kevin Durant.
At this point, yes. I mean, I ran 2 miles on Sunday. If I try to run another 2 miles on Monday, I'm just asking my body to break down, as far as I see it.
Sure.
Anyway, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I do have WebMD, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I had the burrito. I decided to have the burrito instead.
All right.
That's the dedication we're looking for.
And I also felt good about that choice. So far in 2 days, I have run one time for 2 miles. And now I just got to face today. I got to face now. Do I need another day off to recover from the burrito, or am I back to running now? Because I feel like this pace is blistering at this point.
How big was the burrito?
It was a pretty good sized burrito.
I don't think you need a full day to recover.
I don't either.
You think
I'm safe? Looking for excuses?
Yeah.
Now.
You think I'm safe to run today?
I think we're safe to run today, and I'm going to tell you right now, I am shocked and impressed that you did 2 miles.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
It didn't seem hard.
But I will say this, when you get a blister, it can really get bad. So you need to take care
True.
Of that.
It can't be really.
Yes. Really take care of that.
How was the sweat being? Did you get a good sweat going?
Minimal, because it was 61 degrees or something. Mm-hmm. You know, which was very comfortable. Felt good. I mean, I felt a tiny bit sticky. But no, not bad at all.
Gross.
And that had nothing to do with the running either.
All right, it's time for some Mugs Magic. Mugs, tell us what event you were at.
I was at the MTV Movie and TV Awards.
And those are a thing that are still on cable television?
That's a new thing?
Yes, yes. Wow. They still exist, much like MTV as a network still exists.
Hmm. Do they still have the Best Kiss Award?
I don't know. I haven't watched that thing in a while, but yeah, they do. They
yeah,
do.
They have Best Kiss.
They have it.
So Muggs, first of all, sets up that he's where he is and what he's doing.
Hi, it's Beer Mug, and I'm at the MTV Movie and TV Awards at the Barker Hangar in Santa Monica.
Okay, so it's going to be that kind of day.
Yep, it was about
a little goofy.
80 degrees, clear skies, right at the beach, babe. What?
Did you say
and the
babe?
And the Molly just kicked in.
The Molly just kicked in.
Did you mean to say right at the beach, babe?
Yeah, and okay. I said May, and I don't know why.
All right, excellent. First guess.
You guys, Jensen Karp is about to be very, very jealous right now because I have WWE Universal Champion, Mr. Seth Rollins, and Raw Women's Champion, Becky Lynch, right here at the MTV Movie and TV Awards.
That's a get.
How about that?
That's a get.
Whoa. How about that?
Which man?
By the way, nominated for...
I guess villain or something like action. Point is, this is a get.
This is
a get.
They're dating. This is a story that they
I think this was probably their first red carpet together.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where do you think he's going to go with this first question? Now that he's told everybody who they are, he's standing in front of him.
Uh-huh.
What's his first question?
I mean, probably like, what do you guys feel like being champs? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, how does it feel to be in an award show?
Yes.
Could I be a pro wrestler?
Oh, good. That's good. It's a good guess. Bean?
I don't even know.
First of all, Becky, can I touch your belt?
Okay. It's a choice.
Oh, my God.
Right there.
Oh, I felt the power right there.
Who saw that coming?
What I love about this interview so far, and it's a through line in many of Muggs' interviews, We don't really know if those people are there.
No,
no idea.
He doesn't give them the opportunity to talk.
Honestly, the last time we talked to him, he was interviewing Gumby. So this is truly a step up if real.
I felt the power. You guys are, you're going to be at Staples Center on Monday night. What can fans, without giving too much away, what can we expect? Nothing.
Well, you started so strong.
Now, I just want to say that I didn't edit that. So what? How do you go from what can we expect that people may not? Nothing. How do you say, where does nothing come out of?
Stroke.
Did they leave? Did they walk away?
Did they walk away?
No, they were still there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Then hold on a second. That question makes no sense.
You're having to take his word for it, though. We don't even know that they're there.
It sounded so fresh up top because he had that research. You're going to be at Staples Monday.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. And then it just fell into the wayside.
Yeah.
At Staples Center on Monday night, what can fans, without giving too much away, what can we expect? Nothing.
You know, much like these red carpets often do, they sit me in the sun for about 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
Right. So then, you know, hunger starts setting in.
Sure.
Oh, and the excuses begin.
Yeah.
Sure. I see what's happening.
I mean, you were being asked to finish the sentence, and that's a lot.
It's hard. Words are hard, man.
So this is the MTV Movie and TV Award Show. Mm-hmm. So he did get maybe the biggest cast in TV, which is the cast of Real World Atlanta.
Oh.
How are you guys liking the city?
It's amazing. It's so beautiful.
On the real, when you guys join a show like this, obviously there's going to be drama, but how much of it do you guys want to avoid, and how much do you guys want to, like, you know, really get into the passion of it all? That makes any sense?
No.
Makes no sense.
No.
They literally just say, yeah, you know what? Those words, no. Put in that order, don't understand.
But the cast of Real World is questioning your intelligence.
Yeah.
Well, they want to get into the passion of it all, you guys.
All right, Muggs, who did you see from RuPaul's Drag Race?
I believe it was Katya and I forgot the other
drag queen's
name.
I don't know them, so I have Tatoa. And Trixie.
Oh.
But I don't know who that is, so I was hoping you could...
Katya and Trixie, yes. That's,
okay. Trixie's Trixie Mattel is very famous
yes,
drag queen.
Yes, she's a big drag queen.
All right.
Yeah.
You look beautiful, both of you. And I do this for all the celebrities and famous people I meet.
Okay.
Oh, no.
He does this for all the celebrities and famous people he meets.
Can I touch your belt?
Can I touch your belt?
Yes.
You know, localized on what you guys are known for, and it being RuPaul... I need to sing some RuPaul for you.
Oh, all right. No.
Oh, yeah.
You better work.
Cover girl.
Work it, girl.
Rule the world.
I think that's all I know.
Honestly,
RuPaul,
good.
That could be all he knows. Yeah.
How about that?
There you go.
That was wonderful.
Audience participation.
That was right? Good.
Very nice.
They were great.
I can't believe
great.
That worked.
Now they're still standing in front of him, and he just has a question for them about who they met.
Have you guys ever met Eddie Izzard?
No.
The guy's got to do that. He's the man.
Is he here?
I don't think he's here, but you guys...
Why is that relevant?
Great question.
Here we go.
Why is that relevant?
Uh-oh, someone's not woke.
All drag queens don't know all drag queens.
It's a great follow-up.
I mean...
All right, Chanel West Coast. Explain to people who that is.
Chanel West Coast...
Maybe the biggest star.
...was introduced to us through Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory. She was the receptionist who then broke out into rap superstardom.
Slow down.
Oh.
Take it easy.
The rap world, yeah.
I'm not sure how he has this with him. Probably on his phone, but...
Chanel, you and I, right now, I have found out something very, very awe-inspiring. We have a lot in common.
What?
Because much like you, I am a white guy.
Well...
What? You're a white lady. I'm a white guy. And people don't take my character very serious on the radio station I work with. And I spit hot fire. Is it okay if I play for you my little rap that I did?
I would love to hear
it. And my name is Beer Mug, so I had to take the name Muggos. So that's my rap name, and here it is. Tell me what you think. Here's a little bit.
All right, so now we're a minute in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's all set up that Muggs is going to play her something that he did that has nothing to do with her or the TV show.
Correct.
Okay.
How did you have it with you? Is it on your phone?
Yeah. Come on, Kevin. I need to be ready at all times,
it's like
man.
A business card.
Yeah.
This is my new song called Mumble Rap. I'm about to get it. I got a bottle of Coke.
Sniffing.
You got a bottle of Coke.
Drinking.
Raw skills are not a joke.
Laughing.
Got allergies up in my nose.
Sneezing.
Pass me the weed and I'll toke.
Coughing.
Exhale all of my smoke.
Breathing.
Rolling around on the floor.
Dying.
Call it murder, she wrote.
Angela.
Oh. Fire, right?
That's kind of fire.
So if you ever need,
like it'd be be like a Future song or something.
If you ever need anybody like a hype man on stage,
yeah.
People don't take me seriously, but I do know how to write rap.
Yes, if I need a hype man, you're going to be the first person I hit up.
She's laughing at you.
She's
Come
very
on,
nice,
man.
Though.
I mean, she's... she's being sweet.
Yeah. Very polite.
Then
yes.
You interview the powerhouse that is Justina Valentine.
Yes.
Where is Sandra Bullock? Where is Robert Downey Jr.? I'm looking at all these people.
Dude,
who
be
were
patient.
So...
Be patient.
Okay. Okay, all right.
All right, so this is Justina Valentine.
I came out with a song.
Okay.
It's a little bit of Migos style, a little Future style.
Stop. I'd never take you for a Migos style type of...
Can I play it for you?
Absolutely.
All right, here
oh,
it is.
God, no.
Does it again.
Just can't stop.
Does he do it again? Yes, he does.
What's up, man? It's Beer
Muggs.
Okay, Muggos. Okay, Muggos.
This is my new song.
They're not there to meet you.
You're
talking over the art, Pete.
Sorry.
You got a bottle of Coke.
Drink it.
Roscoe's on
He's just playing his demo.
Allergies up in my nose. Sneezing. Pass me the weed and I'll toke.
Long, long flips, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
giving him just the taste.
Okay. You like it? Like it? Like that?
I got a pile of Coke. Sniff it. I got a bottle of Coke. Drink it.
Yeah. Rhyme skills are not a joke. Got allergies up in my nose.
Uh-huh. Okay. Claritin.
So, I heard you flowing over there. I'm not much of a on-the-spot, like, freestyler, but I could write a hell of a bait. I could write a hell of a rap.
Out of a verse?
Write the hell out of it.
Okay. Pen on fire.
Yeah.
I can write the hell out of it. I'll tell you that right now.
So, if you ever want to hook up in the future.
Oh, my
like
God.
Hits or, like, work on something.
Okay, so.
Like, what did she say?
Like, hits or work on something.
I thought she said kiss.
Oh, she did say kiss.
Kiss.
Yeah. Sorry, I misheard it. I'm sorry.
You were there.
I know. It's been a long week so
what
far.
The hell?
It's only Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
If you ever want to hook up in the future.
Like, kiss or, like, work on something?
Both.
Very forward. Very forward. Putting it all on the table, I see.
Oh, I love her.
Justina, you're awesome.
All right, so we got those interviews.
Yeah. So Muggs was there to do interviews for the show or to get a record deal and a girlfriend.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then this is his final wrap-up as he tells everybody exactly what he did, who he talked to, how much fun he had.
Love you. Peace.
That's it.
Quite a wrap-up.
That's it. Great wrap-up. Mm-hmm. Great interviews. Got all the A-listers.
Big stars.
Oops.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
We should tase him, you guys, every time he does that.
No, I don't want that tase thing.
Hit the button on the bracelet.
Rather that didn't happen.
Shock him. Hey, Disneyland Resort tickets for you on the show today and tickets to go see our good friend Fluffy. He's bringing his world tour to Southern California in December. We got Staples Center and Honda Center tickets that you can win this morning on K-Rock. Allie, what's happening?
What's going on?
Well, we were talking about that bracelet from Amazon that you could essentially shock people that are doing things that are bad habits, from eating to pulling out their hair. Fingernail stuff, you know.
Fingernail stuff.
Edwin mentioned that it would be great if maybe the listeners were able to shock them.
So he said we all should get one. No.
And then when any of us are doing anything that the listeners deem not great.
But isn't that everything?
We'd be dead.
Yeah.
We would be dead, Edwin,
I'm
saying.
I trust Twitter users with names like Pepperoni Playboy.
Oh, we love Pepperoni Playboy.
But there's going to be somebody who like hates puns, for instance.
Right.
And it's just like you just wouldn't be able to do that anymore without getting seriously hurt.
I'd be fine.
See, now you're into it because you hate puns. No, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Also, don't like hearing about Dave Mustaine yesterday. Heavy metal legend revealed that he has throat cancer, and that's forcing Megadeth to scrap most of their remaining shows this year. It's clearly something to be respected and faced head on, he said. But I've faced obstacles before. I'm working closely with my doctors. We've mapped out a treatment plan, which they feel has a 90% success rate, and treatment has already begun. And he talks about how they're going to have to cancel most of the shows this year. However, October's mega cruise, that's 5 days on a cruise ship from L.A. to Mexico with Anthrax, Testament, and Suicidal Tendencies. That's going to go on.
All right.
With his band as a part in it in some form. So...
Okay.
If you are going on the mega cruise, don't worry. You will still see them in some respect.
Well, fingers crossed for Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, he survived getting kicked out of Metallica and is still alive. I'm sure he can beat cancer.
Yeah, they're they're
someone,
different.
Someone want to shock him real quick or no?
Yeah.
I'm just saying that was a tough hurdle to get over. That's all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people think like losing a job is a lot like cancer.
But Metallica, though, imagine you used to be in Metallica, then you get kicked out, and then you look at what they became.
Right.
That's yeah. That'd be tough. That'd be a tough way to go, man.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
Go out on a limb here and say we get it. We get it.
Okay. All right. I feel like there was some doubt. Okay.
No?
So Bonnaroo happened over the weekend, and a lot of different wardrobe choices were questioned.
What's going on?
Well, Cardi B didn't let a little wardrobe malfunction stop her performance. She ripped the backside of her multicolored beaded jumpsuit, and she informed the audience, I'm going to go handle this real quick. Then she came back, just wearing a bathrobe. Nope. Came back, just wearing a bathrobe. That she wore for the rest of the set. And she said,
it was hilarious.
We're going to keep it moving, baby. We're going to keep it sexy. Because if I have learned anything, bathrobes are super sexy.
And it was a big old hotel bathrobe.
Yes. It was like one of those ones that you wear when you're like, you're not getting any tonight.
That's funny.
You know this, right? Because I'm wearing this bathrobe. It's your no sex bathrobe.
Right.
Ladies, we all have one. Being just a...
Yeah,
24/7. I know about that.
Yeah. However, Post Malone had quite the outfit. Did you see it?
I didn't.
Well, it had little black and white pictures of a very beloved woman all over, head to toe.
I did hear about this. This is a surprise.
It's a surprise, but if you guys think about who is just... so loved across genres. Just somebody that you're like, oh my God, everyone has something wonderful to say about this person.
Can I guess?
You can.
Give it up for Limp Bizkit!
Fred Durst all over. No, it was not Limp Bizkit.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Steve.
It was not Steve, but do
it's
I
a
love
great
Steve.
Guess, though, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Always there when you want him to hit it.
Was it,
say Jerry Garcia?
No, not Jerry Garcia, but very loved, absolutely.
Was it,
Willie Tanner?
No, not even sure who that is.
Mother Farley.
It was not Chris Farley.
Oh, I do have one real, this is a real one.
Kaiser Permanente?
It was not. That's actually a hospital, not really a person.
Oh, it was a name.
Yeah.
The hospital's named after a person, though.
So. Named I'm Kaiser
sure.
Permanente.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Bill Hader. No, ma'am. However, I would like a outfit with just Bill Hader's face all over it.
All right. I think I got it.
Okay.
Is it Dick?
That is a great guess.
I like that outfit as well.
Yep.
Nope, not Tick.
Okay, don't answer because I'm on to it.
Mm-hmm. Frankenstein.
Nope, not. It's a beloved person that people across genres just love.
Could it be more than one person?
Agnes, Agatha, Jermaine, and Jack.
No.
Oh.
This is someone that that's got what you need.
Though. Oh, I got it. Then yeah. Got what you need.
Pikachu.
No, it's Pikachu. First of all, sir.
Okay, I have one.
Okay.
Arnold Braunschweiger.
No, sir. I
Not
don't even
Arnold Braunschweiger.
No, I don't even know who that is. You want me just to tell you?
Well, let me get one more try.
One more. Okay.
The Prime Minister, the Right Honorable Winston Churchill.
No, I don't think he's beloved across all genres.
I feel like we're narrowing in on it, though. I feel like we're just about to get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then here.
Joe Moss.
I don't know who Joe Moss is.
Who is Joe Moss?
Who's Joe Moss?
It's just a name I found.
It's a dude.
So dumb.
Okay, but you do know who.
Yeah.
Supersized model Monica.
You know who that
no,
is, right?
It's, no. No.
Salim Abu Aziz.
Uh-uh.
Joanna Man?
Yes, it is Joanna.
Is Joanna Man?
Yes.
How about that?
Janus. Finally got to it.
Hugh Janus.
No.
I'm Cy Sproling, president of Hair Club for Men.
That would be quite a look. No.
George Wilbur?
Mm-mm. Nope. Don't even know who George Wilbur is. Professor Watts is nuts. Not Professor Watts is nuts. Now you guys aren't even trying.
Debbie.
It's just
Debbie.
I'm all about regular names.
Love it.
Is it Jeff?
Krim.
No. Uh-uh.
Arnold Braunschweiger.
Listen, we've already heard from that guy.
Von Miller.
Okay, it's Dolly Parton.
Oh.
It's Dolly Parton, you guys.
That was was my next one up.
It's Dolly Parton. Okay. It's just a whole outfit with Dolly's face all over it.
That's cool.
She got word of it and wrote, "Love the outfit from head to toe, Post Malone," followed by a winky emoji.
Oh, it's on.
Okay. Dolly Parton knows who Post Malone is. That's a weird world we live in.
Yeah.
I feel
or
like
at least
she,
her social media manager does.
She knows everything.
She seems to, yeah.
She's amazing. I love everything about her. Thank you. Some birthdays for you. Blake Shelton, Richard Madden, Josh Dunn, and I don't know, the guy that created many bops, none quite as good as this.
Meet Free Monday. It's a fun day. And it's happening all around the world.
I mean, unquestionably his greatest work ever.
Yes.
It's a fun day.
Great lyrics.
And it's happening.
Really tough to find anything wrong with this.
Suck it, Hey Jude.
Right?
Yeah. Happy birthday, Sir Paul McCartney.
Actor, writer, musician, comedian, all-around good guy. Our friend Jonah Ray joins us next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. And stand by to win your Disneyland 4-packs as well. Guys, I think I made a mistake.
What's up?
Mm.
I have recently fallen in love with Beyond Burgers. Because, you know, I don't eat the cows and haven't for almost 30 years now. And the Impossible Burgers are good.
Mm-hmm.
The Beyond Burgers are effing amazing. And I can't stop eating them. I love them so much. I had not had anything that tasted like meat in years in my mouth. And now the Beyond Burgers are out. I'm enjoying hamburgers all the time, and they're great. Well, here's the mistake. Here's the mistake I made. I did not realize that I am going to be part of a new race of soulless creatures because I am eating plant-based meat alternatives.
Mm.
That is the word from a program called End Times. Rick Wiles is the minister's name. Yes, Allie?
End Times.
End Times.
How am I not listening to something called End Times?
End Times, I know. Apparently it's some sort of a organization, some sort of a group, a network that deals with the coming of the Lord, I guess. I
mean,
say.
Honestly, I think we all got that.
Yeah. So his name is Rick Wiles, and he is very upset by this new trend of how popular Impossible Burger and Beyond Meat are. And he laid it out for us, and I think it's time for us to spread the word.
When you go to your favorite fast food restaurant, you're going to be eating a fake hamburger. You're going to go to the grocery store and buy a pound of fake hamburger or a fake steak, and you won't know that it was grown in some big corporation's laboratory.
Now, I don't know where he thought we thought the product was coming from, but I think it's not a surprise. They're not fooling you with it. They're not putting it into your food without your permission. I mean, when you order a fake burger, you're doing it on purpose because that's what you want.
The way he's talking about it is he's talking about the devil.
And if he thinks the lab is crazy for Impossible and Beyond, wait till he hears what they do to the cows.
Yeah.
Yes, that's going to be very bad news for you. Yeah. I mean, don't we all accept that it's made at a corporate laboratory, right?
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, that's how food is made, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. All right, he returns.
This is the nightmare world that they're taking us into.
Now, who's the they in this?
Who is they?
Is it the people making the fake meat?
Big Meat.
Oh, Big Meat.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the nightmare world that they're taking us into. They're changing God's creation. Why? Because they want to be God.
Okay.
Well, what?
I know. That was a leap for me, too. They're changing God's creation because they are taking plants and figuring out a way to turn them into
animal tasting, animal looking.
Something edible, yeah.
But aren't the plants also God's creation?
And edible.
I don't think the plants mine. I think the plants are good with it, aren't they?
Satan.
Well, maybe
so.
I would assume so.
Okay, more.
They want to do exactly what Lucifer did before the flood. It's why God destroyed it.
Okay.
What?
I'm no biblical scholar.
Run that by me again, would you?
Okay. I don't know anything about the Bible, but this statement.
They want to do exactly what Lucifer did before the flood. It's why God destroyed it.
Because we're taking plants and turning them into hamburgers, we're doing exactly what Satan did before God destroyed the earth with the flood?
With the flood.
Help me with the connection here, you guys. I'm not seeing it.
I think...
I don't get it.
I can't. I really can't. But I assume this is a... I mean, listen, to get into the mind of an idiot, we're manipulating plants to be like beef in the same way men are trying to be women. You know what I mean? Like, I think he sees it as
He sees it as the same thing?
Yes. I think he thinks we're going against God's work. Like, God wants us to eat these
burgers.
God
wants us to eat cows.
He doesn't want us to eat plant cows.
Right, but, I mean, this isn't...
They grow plant cows?
Yeah, well, that's
crazy.
I mean, you got to see what these cups are doing. I mean, it's a crazy snowflake world.
But, I mean, it's not like... I mean, even... Look, I would disagree with him if he said this, but it's not even like we're cloning animals or anything like that. We're literally just taking a plant and figuring out a way to process it so that it tastes better.
Yes.
That's all
How
we're doing.
How is it possible for somebody to take this line on this topic?
It doesn't
even make sense. Mm-mm.
It doesn't. Well, he's not done. Right.
He said he regretted that he ever made mankind because they were destroying his creation. The Bible says God is coming back to destroy those who are destroying the earth.
Okay. Now, help me out here. Isn't the production of livestock one of the major problems that we have in this world today in terms of not only the methane gas that you've heard about, but just how much grazing needs to be done to keep those cows alive, the slaughterhouse practices. I mean, the impact that it has on the world. We would all be healthier and climate change would be reduced.
What's climate change? Well, climate change is false.
If we ate more plant-based diet, right? I mean, everybody knows and agrees with that. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're right.
No,
you're right.
Except the idea that this guy doesn't even believe climate change is a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get where he's coming from here.
So God is an environmentalist. He takes this very seriously. He created this planet. He created the universe.
Then why did he let Al Gore lose if God's really an environmentalist? What's with the stupid Electoral College?
And he's watching these Luciferians destroy his planet, destroy the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom.
Again, we're not destroying the animal kingdom.
I was saying that.
If anything, he's saving the animal kingdom.
Yes, you're saving cows for plants, which we can grow.
Mm-hmm. Change human DNA. Why? They want to change human DNA so that you can't be born again.
Okay.
All right. See,
now it all makes sense.
I wish he led with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
How does me eating a Beyond Burger change my DNA, and how does that affect me not being able to get born again? He's talking about spiritually, right?
I would hope.
I can't accept Jesus into my heart if I eat an Impossible Burger.
Correct.
Well, you've been taken over by the Luciferians that are trying to change your DNA. And then God's going to be all, woo, flood, no more cows.
I like the way you say it better.
Yeah.
Allie, you should write your own version of the Bible, the New Testament according to Allie.
Thank you.
You really do summarize it for me well. All right, so we're changing DNA, I guess. Right.
That's where they're going with this, to change the DNA of humans so it will be impossible for a human to be born again.
I'm just trying to have a burger.
Right. I'm just starving.
I'm just trying to have
Not
a burger.
Not fond of eating cows and hungry.
And hungry, right. It just seems like it's kind of a win-win.
They want to create a race of soulless creatures on this planet.
Okay, a race of soulless creatures,
right.
You guys.
Okay.
Sign me up to be soulless. This past week was yesterday was the 25th anniversary of the slow speed chase with O.J. Simpson and the White Ford Bronco with Al Cowlings. Mm-hmm. A couple days before that was the anniversary of the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. So this was an interesting weekend for O.J. Simpson to decide he was going to join social media. He opened up a Twitter account, you guys.
That was a shocker.
Yep.
We were all a little bit surprised. Mm-hmm. And here's what his first message was on Twitter, and then we'll tell you why we're bringing it up.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything.
By the way, he never says his own name in any of his posts. He always calls himself yours truly.
Huh.
Isn't that weird?
Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there. So this one, at the real OJ32, is the only official one. So this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do.
Whoa.
So God bless. Take care.
Whoa.
You do not ever want to hear him say he got a little getting even to do.
Also, the casual way he dropped it in is bone chilling.
By the way, who are these people who have a fake O.J. Simpson account? Mm-hmm. What are you doing with your life, sir? So, I haven't looked this morning. Can you look real quick, Jensen or Allie, and see how many followers he has right now?
But it really surprised me how many people went out of their way to click that follow button on a double murderer.
715,000.
In like 4 days.
Yeah.
Almost 750,000 people.
I have 43 followers in common with O.J. Simpson.
Oh, my gosh. Allie, you saw this. You were not pleased with where humanity was headed.
No, absolutely not. What possessed you to click that follow button? Or what possessed you to hit that retweet button?
I'll tell you something I did. I retweeted it because I thought it was a deep fake. I genuinely did think it was a deep fake. O.J. Simpson goes on Twitter and says he has to get even with people. That is a Black Mirror. If that was a Black Mirror episode, you'd be like, that's too much.
That could easily be a deep fake. That's interesting.
That certainly wasn't why most people were interacting with the account, though. Most people believed it was O.J.
I couldn't imagine.
I would think.
Don't you think there's just some curiosity as to what is he going to say? How is he going to say it? And don't you think most of those people will just move on after 2 days or whatever it is? You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to be entertaining. He's also not going to trip up and admit to something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
But, Allie, didn't you feel like most of the people who interacted with the account, if you looked at the comments, were looking at it as an opportunity to tell him what an awful person he was?
I honestly didn't look at the comments.
Same. I didn't see
blocked
anything.
Blocked him right away. I don't even want him on my timeline. Yet people quote tweeting him like, oh, I'm going to dunk on OJ now. You're bringing that toxicity to my timeline just by having him on there. I don't understand it. I don't get people. And people that are like, oh, it's a dumpster fire and I just want to watch it. You're adding to that dumpster fire.
You think so?
Absolutely. You're rewarding it in some way, because a follow for a person like that just emboldens them. Like, look at all these people that want to hear what I have to say. Whether you think it or not, you're helping this.
Bill Cosby tweeted that wasn't cool. And then so I retweeted that.
Bill Cosby did tweet the same day.
Also tweeted on Sunday.
And called himself America's dad, I believe.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, Sunday was a weird day for Twitter, by the way, which is already a company that is struggling with so much hate speech. And now you're putting Bill Cosby and O.J. Simpson on it. But
I'm going to tell you,
the platform's open for anybody.
I will admit to this. I would never follow O.J. Simpson. I knew that immediately. I was like, okay, now that I know it's real, I'm not going to follow O.J. Simpson. But it will be very difficult for me to not watch a video he posts, whether it's on CNN.com, which it'll make, or any of those places, because at this point it is it's an unknown territory in which I am scared to see where it goes.
Meaning he's stepping possibly into it.
I don't know. I have no idea. I just think there's something very, very odd about this one. More than the Bill Cosby one, because his wife has been tweeting from that for a while. So in this case, it's just there is a person who we all know got away with murder and is now saying he needs to get even with people via social media.
Well, and a lot of people are taking advantage of access to OJ to be able to say the things they wish they could say to him to his face. Like, oh, it's about time you took a stab at social media.
Boom!
I'm pretty sure you will fit in like a glove.
Boom!
Hey, OJ, big fan. I'm in need of a pair of gloves. What's your favorite place to purchase them from?
Pow!
You got him. You got a murderer.
So, I mean, is there anything in that, in the public shaming, Allie, of people being able to tell OJ, hey, all is not forgiven, we still hate you, you're still awful?
I mean, if that's what gets you off, sure. I'm going to publicly shame a double murderer.
Mm-hmm.
No, just why? Why even interact? Why even do the engagement?
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Follow him or Bill Cosby or anybody else that just is socially unredeemable.
Because I do remember there was a time, I think before he ran for president, that I followed Donald Trump. And then at a certain point,
there was a while.
I was like, I don't want to have, but I still know all his tweets because of the news.
Yes. Well, because it's hard. It makes news when it comes from the president.
Yeah.
All right. Let me throw this out there. I'm not sure if this analogy totally works, but while we wait for some calls to come in, 1-800-520-1067. Engaging in OJ, acknowledging OJ, dismissing OJ, criticizing him, isn't it kind of like, Allie, if there were a Nazi rally in town? I can see the argument, ignore them. Don't give them the publicity. Don't interact with them. Leave them alone. Just let them do their thing, and they'll evaporate because they won't be causing a stir.
Or you can be the guy who says, I'm not going to allow that. I need to be involved in this. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to counter protest because what they're doing is evil and awful and wrong. And they need to know that the world is not okay with it and what they're doing. Isn't it sort of like that?
No. These people aren't counter-protesting OJ. They're clicking a follow button because this is cool. I can't wait to see what he says. What? No.
But I think I really do think a lot of people are doing it because they hate him. They're not doing it because they support him or they want him to be more popular.
Who does that serve?
You're saying that a follow is like it's currency. Is that
yes.
What, yeah, okay.
Yes. And who does that serve? If you're following someone because you hate them, that's destroying your spirit. Like, you are not serving anyone with a hate follower or anything like that.
What you're hoping is that OJ will read this guy, hey, can I get your opinion on how you got away with murdering your wife? And it will let him for another second realize that we all know he did it.
Yeah, you're trying to strike some empathy within a sociopath. Well, that makes sense.
Technically, when you say it that way.
No. What are you doing? Like, someone's going to get through to him with a pow joke about gloves? No. You're just doing it because you think, oh, look at me. I'm going to own O.J. Simpson. No, you're not going to own O.J. Simpson. The guy got away with a double murder. He owns all of you.
Also, that's a weird statement to say. Yes. But I have read many theories that O.J. Simpson believes he's innocent. Like he's convinced himself.
Oh, I think
like
he's
convinced himself of it. So even if he's reading those things, I don't know if he's being like, you know, I got
hit. He's going to say haters going to hate. That's what he's going to say because that's a good catch-all for anyone that doesn't agree with him, which is absurd.
I mean, he is a sociopath and he probably does believe he didn't do it. He probably believes his own BS. But I think people feel a little bit better if they have the opportunity to let OJ know that we know he's lying and we know he didn't get away with
it. So Bean follows OJ. That's what
I do
know.
Not. Yeah, Bean. I do not follow OJ. Oh. And I would not write to OJ, but I totally get where Ali is coming from. But that's why I think this is an interesting conversation to have. So if you're following OJ, if you're one of the 715,000 people who is following the OJ Simpson account, or you're following Bill Cosby, or you're following somebody else who's socially and morally reprehensible.
Like Michael Rappaport. Like, who are you people?
Beer mug, for instance.
Beer mug, right. Agreed. You know? Sort of the same.
That's what we're looking for. What makes you, or if you have a theory on why other people would want these people in their timeline, we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock.
All right, listen, we're going to do our best to not be judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys are pieces of dirt if you...
Wow.
I don't know that I agree with that.
No, that's not. Come on now.
I'm interested to hear the thought process.
Right, that's what
Look,
I meant.
You make a decision with every time you hit the follow button on social media. You make a decision as to if this person is worth your time. And I'm curious as to the people who are following O.J. Simpson, like our man Grayson from Anaheim, who joins us now on line 10. Hey, Grayson.
Hey, guys. So I've been listening for the last 10 years, and first-time caller, being called a piece of dirt for the first time. Making all my dreams come true, so thank you for that.
Sorry, Grayson. You're welcome. That was just a joke, but go ahead.
No, I totally get it. Okay. I really love the show. Anyway, much like, and I'm going to try to cite Bean as best I could, much like when he started Twitter, he just followed people because he liked to stay current. And I know yesterday was a 25-year anniversary, but everything he still does is pop culture. I mean... him talking about getting even. I mean, within an hour of him being in an account, Andrew Siciliano tweeted it out, and he usually gets everything right. It's just fascinating to follow him. I can't help myself.
So you're not an OJ fan or supporter, but you just feel like it's worth knowing what he's doing and what's going on in his world.
Absolutely. I'm kidding. He's one of the most reprehensible people in the world. Like, the fact that he managed to get off, that's a whole other issue. But yeah, I just can't help it. He's probably going to do something again. I mean, look at the Vegas thing a few years ago.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, the whole deal 25 years ago. I mean, it just feels like something that I have to know about once it happens.
But why are you not following Bill Cosby? Because what about all the rapes?
It's unfortunately, that logic could easily be used for that. And it doesn't make any sense. Following OJ doesn't make sense. The fact that I don't also follow Bill Cosby doesn't make sense. It's just something that I guess that's where I draw the line.
Of course. Rapist, bad. Murderers, okay.
How many? A couple? Okay.
I will say, though, there's a small point with that we pop culturalized the OJ murders. We did. There were like Let the Juice Loose shirts.
Right.
There were like pogs with his face on them.
Right.
Free OJ everywhere.
Free OJ. And we have not done that with Bill Cosby. So when you, there is a still, weirdly, and there's no reason for it, there is still a sense of humor with the OJ murders.
Yeah.
I think the Goldmans and.
They don't agree. I
agree. Disagree. Yeah.
But I'm telling you, as a culture, pop culturally, there has been jokes about the O.J. Simpson murder for a long... I mean, there were dancing Itos, guys.
Yeah.
It's different.
Grayson, I'm glad you called. We appreciate you listening for so long. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
We got a bad person in our midst here, you guys. he works down the hall doing his own radio show right now on AMP. Hey, Brian Mutz, how are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
You're following O.J.
Yeah, man, you got to keep, you know, keep your friends close, your enemies closer. Know when the danger's going to happen.
A better answer, to be honest.
You know, I follow
just
him.
Just in case he's coming after you?
You never know.
Okay.
Never know. Look, I follow him the same reason I follow Donald Trump. You want to know where their head's at. You want to know, you know, if he's knifing into people's DMs, I want to be aware of it.
I don't follow Donald Trump, but God, I hear about him. I know all about him on Twitter. I don't feel like you have to follow someone like a Donald Trump or an O.J. Simpson to hear about them all the time.
Suck it!
That's an accurate, fair point.
Okay.
Okay. I don't have a rebuttal for that other than, you know what, I find it entertaining.
Ooh.
I mean, that's the honest truth. And by the way, he is agreeing with 750,000 people.
Look,
in 4 days.
In his opening video, he tweeted that he had a lot of people to get even with. I just want to make sure I'm not on the list.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to AMP this morning, and I found
Al, I don't want to put words in Allie's mouth, but if I can summarize, Brian, before you came in, she was just saying, why do you want that negativity and that toxicity in your timeline? Shouldn't it be a happier place?
It's the same reason that I answer unknown phone numbers on my cell phone. I just need I just need chaos in my life. That's it.
You make bad decisions across the board.
He's baby Kevin.
Consistently bad.
You're like a true crime podcast waiting to happen.
You'll know if I don't show up in a couple days what happened.
Yeah. All right, Brian. Thanks
thank
for putting your head in. We
and
appreciate it.
And you smell
it.
Great.
Oh, thank you.
Let's do one more only because it's a different theory we haven't heard before. It's going to be Omar in Fresno. Fresno, I say Fres, yes. Omar, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, considering the events involving OJ took place 25 years ago, and most social media users are around that age or early 20s,
okay.
I have no idea why they're following them.
Well,
Even the most casual observer of the world knows that O.J. Simpson was accused of murder, though. I mean, he's more famous for that than he is being a football player.
They didn't live through the whole trial. They didn't live through the Ito, through the Cato Kalin. They didn't live the glove.
Omar, I think you're thinking people on Twitter are a lot younger than they are. Twitter and Facebook both skew a lot older than any other social media.
And also,
these are definitely people that were around.
And it's not like O.J. Simpson put out like a great like techno record. Like he doesn't have something else that you could like kids could put him at. Does that make sense? Like he's still, I think they
he's
know
still
him as
only known for what he did in the past.
Well, I think they only know him as a murderer, not a football player or a commercial
actor,
guy or a Naked Gun. Yeah.
What happens when somebody tweets something and O.J. hits like on it?
I mean, that's a question we're going to have to ask.
Yeah.
They're going to pin that tweet forever.
I hope not. I hope you're wrong on every single thing you said out of your mouth, Omar, but we appreciate you listening and thanks for calling.
Thank you. All right. I did get a text from Lightning, our former producer.
Okay. Oh, good.
Bean has a painting by John Wayne Gacy, serial killer, and one of a naked O.J. Simpson. How
that
is that different than following them on social media?
Might be worse. You contributed to their funds.
Well, I don't know if O.J. got
estates.
Paid for the naked O.J. painting.
Well, he gets paid every time.
But he's got a painting.
Jonah Ray is coming up.
I'm the juice. Whatever that is. Let's try to be a good guy.
Right.
Just trying to be a good guy, you guys.
Bean's,
that's all.
We found out Bean is a runner. Bean ran.
I did.
Bean ran.
Two
words
time ever.
I never thought I would put
first
together.
Time ever. Did you know that you can go faster than walking? I didn't. I just found out there's another speed. I've been in first gear my whole life, and now I found out there's a second gear. There's nothing beyond that, but there is a second gear.
We didn't ask what you wore. We know your shoes. What else? You wear shorts and a shirt, or what was your
getup?
Okay.
Well, whatever I happen to have on. I mean, I don't have running clothes, if that's what you're
asking. I'm just wondering if you're wearing like a dress shirt and slacks.
That would have been great, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. And carrying an umbrella.
We'll talk about that in a second. Plus, Jonah Ray coming in studio in the next hour.
And Disneyland tickets for a pack of passes for you to the Disneyland Resort on the way. And we've got fluffy tickets you could win for Gabriel's World Tour at the Staples Center and Honda Center near the end of the year. Allie, it's your turn. What's happening?
I am so excited that Jonah Ray is coming in. Because
I love that dude.
He brought me so much joy when the Game of Thrones situation, I'll call it, was happening, where he wound up tweeting about the guy that started the petition for them to redo the final season.
The whole season, yeah.
And he tweeted essentially, like, come on, dorks, let's get over it. And he was inundated with tweets that went on for quite some time, and his responding to people was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Well, he's a professional comedian, so he knows how to handle a heckler.
Oh, but it was just so good.
I want to talk to him about all the blowback he got when he made a mild joke about Guy Fieri. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, you don't want to get the Guy Fieri heads against you.
I mean, I'm a Guy Fieri head, so this is troubling for me.
Oh no. I hope you'll be okay.
I won't.
We'll discuss when Jonah comes in.
All right. Well, the reason I bring this up is because Game of Thrones last season drew a lot of opinions, almost as many opinions as it drew eyeballs. And actress Lena Headey addressed fans' disappointment over her character's anticlimactic death. That was Cersei Lannister, who just was hit by rubble, really, and taken out.
And they really didn't show anything until a couple episodes later. They finally, moved some rocks aside, and then you could see that they were dead. But it was very anticlimactic.
Well, it was to her, too. She said,
"Oh, that's funny.
I will say I wanted a better death. Obviously, you dream of your death. You could go in any way on that show. So I was kind of gutted. But I just think they couldn't have pleased everyone. I feel like they could have killed her better, too."
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, she's just like, oh, no, rubble.
Yeah, so, 6 seconds in, give me something dramatic.
So do we want them to reshoot it?
We want them to reshoot it.
Okay.
I have a petition. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see if Jonah can retweet it.
Excellent.
Okay.
It's going to go real well.
It's about time.
Hey, Empire, what's going on that set? You've got
They're not giving you enough to do, apparently.
Wow. Jussie Smollett had his own legal issues. I don't know if you recall that story.
Mm-hmm.
Some think he might have faked a hate crime. Charges have been dropped. And then you've got Terrence Howard, who's being investigated for tax fraud. And then the youngest brother on the show was just arrested and booked yesterday. But this is something, it's like, okay, compared to those two.
Was it like parking tickets?
Almost. He didn't have registration and didn't have proper insurance and didn't have his driver's license. So he was arrested and booked, then released after paying a $2,000 bond. You got to step it up.
Yeah.
Right.
Rashear Gray. You gotta do something bigger in order to really get on our radar for people messing up on the set of Empire.
Now, is he being written out of the next season, too?
I think he's okay. I think he's all right. But it's scary.
I think it's time to put that show down.
Well, it's going to be their last season. Yeah.
You watch it?
No,
I don't. I can't imagine people have been with it from the beginning.
I watched the first season and loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
I thought it was amazing.
Great. Yeah, first season was great.
Second season, I was like, what exactly are you guys doing here? What's happening? And then I was out.
Yeah, me too.
But I really did enjoy it that first season.
It was great.
Oh, Cookie? Don't get me started on
They need to go back and reshoot all of the seasons after season.
Oh, yeah. If you want Kevin's petition.
Sign up for our petition. Yes. It's online now at krock.com.
Entire thing.
Okay. So we can get any show remade if we decided we were dissatisfied
Absolutely.
With it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Everyone knows that.
A couple signatures. That's all you need. That's how it works.
Guys, did you see this woman in England that told her coworkers she wants a cake featuring Mariah Carey for her birthday? And instead, she got a cake with Marie Curie on it. they kind of misunderstood the order.
That's funny.
That's amazing. Which Mariah found out about and wound up tweeting, this could have been me if only I hadn't failed remedial math. And I felt that. I felt fully seen by Mariah Carey. But can you imagine you get Marie Curie and you're like, I don't even know who this woman is. And then you're like, oh, yeah, it's just chemistry.
At first you're going, it's a bad picture, Mariah.
She doesn't look great. However, the woman's sister that wound up, or cousin, wound up tweeting the picture. And she noted, Marie Curie looks very festive.
I want to know who this person is working behind the cake counter in England who yes. didn't know who Mariah Carey was, but knew who Marie Curie
I
was.
I love it so very much. Love it so much.
Hello.
She was the first woman to ever win a Nobel Prize, by the way.
Physics Nobel Prize in 1903. Yeah.
Oh, I see. I didn't have that information.
It's her research into radioactivity. By the way, she also discovered radium and polonium.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure. Yeah, sure. She died like from that radioactivity that she was studying. That's a real bummer, right?
Way to bring it down.
But Mariah Carey is still alive, you guys.
Right?
She is very much alive.
Probably. Same with Marie Kondo. She could have been in this mix, too.
Oh, she could have.
Which one wrote All I Want for Christmas Is You? Was that Marie Curie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she won the Nobel Prize for that.
Okay.
All right.
What about Mary Carey, former Los Angeles politician, also adult film star?
Mm-hmm. A gubernatorial candidate, yes.
Throw her into the mix. Sure.
What about Mary Cherry from the show Popular?
That would work.
Yeah.
That's a fictitious character?
It is. It's Leslie Goldman.
All right, fair.
Yeah.
Put him in the mix.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Sense. Anyone got one?
By the way, I said Leslie
Mary
Goldman.
Mary Poppins. I mean, that's all I got.
Leslie didn't Grossman. Correct me. My friend Leslie Grossman.
Yeah.
Mary Cherry, though. One of the best characters ever on television.
No,
Are we out?
I think I'm out.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll come up with one in a couple of breaks, and then everyone will look at me like odd.
Sure.
And then we'll... Okay. And then I'll probably feel embarrassed.
Pretty sure we mind that for everything it's worth.
Fair.
Happy birthday, right? Drummer of 21 Pilots, Josh Dunn, Richard Madden, Blake Shelton, and just
what
one...
What about Mary Cheney?
That's it. Okay. I knew you'd have
what
one.
What about Mary Cheney?
I didn't get one.
Senator from Wyoming.
Okay. What about Margaret Cho? Am I going too far?
Yeah, you went too far.
I'll see you guys later.
Okay, bye. And happy birthday to just one of the greats that Kevin has hung up on, Sir Paul McCartney.
Go ahead.
Steve.
I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to do this again, Sir Paul, but thank you so much for the time. It's a real honor to have you on the program today.
That's a really nice interview. So, I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Let's make it a day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Oops.
I mean, it happens. He was done, right?
Well, you made it so.
Jonah Ray has joined us in studio.
Hey, Jonah Ray.
I'm going to jump in and start talking while Allie's talking on the air about
it's just
something
yelling
else.
Richard Belzer, like you do.
The bells, baby.
How are you, Jonah?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me. The last time I was here was a while back, but it was raining still. So I feel like every time it's gloomy,
is it raining
show
now?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
No, we don't know these type of things. Yeah. No, we're in a dungeon.
We don't know. Yeah. Is it just June gloom or is it actual rain?
No, it's the apocalypse start. You guys should be checking online. The apocalypse started. You know, we've all been waiting for it. We've been hot in the heels.
Wouldn't
now
it be
here
funny if it was happening and we just had no idea? We're just sitting here like making yucks.
Yes.
What else as we do?
I do notice.
Remember
that
me as I lived, making yucks.
He died doing what he loved, making yucks.
Grasping his chest and asking God for more time.
I do notice that if the rapture is part of that that apocalypse, none of us are leaving. We all seem to still be here.
Oh, I think that's a given.
Yeah. That'd be great. It'd be just great music and easygoing people.
A lot less traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so much less judgment, too, if we can just get rid of those Christians, right? Jonah, you are a comedian, podcaster, actor, host, musician. You do it all. What are you spending most of your time doing these days?
Sleeping.
Getting in fights on Twitter?
I get in fights on Twitter. I got off Twitter last week, about a week ago, because I couldn't do any rights.
Was it all the Game of Thrones stuff?
That was the start of it, where there was a petition out.
Yeah.
And it said 500,000 Game of Thrones
to
fans
reshoot the whole season 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I thought it was funny the way they phrased it, so I just kind of made fun of the headline.
Right.
500,000 dorks think they could do a better job. And it opened up the floodgates to anger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just dug in.
Yeah,
I dug
you
in.
Did.
You know, I'm in a place right now where I'm punchy. I feel like I grew up being in like mosh pits, like almost like, you know, like a few times a week. And I think I've missed that simulated aggression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that safe violence, as it were.
Sure.
And so I just put my heels down and dug in.
Some of the best viewing I've seen in a long time watching your Twitter feed.
Yeah, it was 3 days of my life that I'll never get back.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is about me that I just say kind of like, a, you know, there's this, like even the week after, I did a someone a Hollywood Reporter, I think, said Guy Fieri finally gets a star on the Walk of Fame. And I retweeted it saying, what do you mean, finally?
Which isn't even that, like, that's not even that harsh, really.
No.
I mean, it's a mild. Weird thing to say. It's mild, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, finally, well, who, like, Alan Arkin doesn't have a star. And I would say, yeah, Alan Arkin finally gets a star
sure.
on the Walk of Fame. And, like, the people who were coming after me were like, it's like, oh, yeah, oh, nice, real smart comedy going after the low-hanging fruit of Guy Fieri. I was like, who are you defending
wow!
here? Are they on my side?
That's crazy.
As I've stated many times on the show, I am a Guy Fieri head.
Mm-hmm.
I say it correctly, Fieri.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think finally is probably the right thing to not say.
And I think it's great.
Great. You had no real
really
problem
care.
With
I have no just, problem with yeah. them.
You were more problem with the headline writer.
Yeah.
Now, why did you stop?
Amazing.
Why did I stop?
Yeah, just too much.
I don't know. I need
too much regression.
I needed to spend time with my wife.
She's like, I miss
that's
you,
a,
Jonah.
That's a low priority.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just it was taking up too much time.
What are Guy Fieri heads called, by the way? Do they have a name?
Dorks.
Okay.
Dumb back down.
Yes. Yeah. This is a good time to say I'll be at the Irvine Improv on Thursday. Also, look up my name in Sublime.
I do appreciate, though, that Jonah often just replies to someone with dork. Like, that's all you respond. And people get so irate. You responded to some guy in my feed with dork.
Yeah.
And I thought it was the greatest thing because the guy was being a dork.
It's great.
And people lose their mind over probably the greatest word ever. Dork.
It's a great comedy word.
Yeah.
It starts and ends with consonants,
right.
which is what you need.
You need it.
And it's one syllable. It's a nice little dig. And it's so innocuous. It doesn't really mean anything.
No.
But like my favorite thing is like calling somebody a dork and go, dude, why don't you look in the mirror? I go, yeah, sure. I don't care. Yeah, go for it. I don't know.
I mean, you've seen your hair. There's nothing they can say to you that you don't already know.
Yeah, I don't care about myself. Like, it's a lifelong passion of mine to destroy myself before anyone else can. I'm callous.
Now, Jonah, I've been reading about some of your recent comedy, and you did mention you're going to be at the Irvine Improv Thursday night, 8 o'clock, improv.com/Irvine. Great, great show, as low as $20 for tickets. But you've been starting your shows recently with your hilarious chunk of dead dad comedy, and I wanted to get into that a little bit. How long did you lose your father?
That was about, it's coming up on 2 years, I think. There'll be like towards the end of summer, it'll be 2 years since I
okay
lost
I'm
my dad.
Less I'm less than a year on mine, and I'm yet to find the hilarity in it. So tell me how that process worked for you as a comedian. Like, when did it get funny for you?
Maybe like the next day I was making jokes.
Day. Okay.
I think it was a mechanism that I developed just to, like, as I did my entire life, where it's like I started kind of cracking jokes about my dad and like how he was gone and stuff like that, and it made me feel better because that's how I respond to things, is through humor, which doesn't make you a good partner in a relationship.
Sure.
Most of the time.
Sure.
It
sounds like a therapist talking there, Jonah.
Yeah. Well, even when I saw Jordan Peele's Us, I was just like, I related so much with the husband, the dad character. I was like, he's doing what I do. And I see how it's problematic.
I'd like to just tell a story about Bean, and that's the day after his mom passed away. On the air, he said, and we were all like, we don't want to talk about it because it's too painful, blah, blah, blah. He said, well, at least I don't have to get anything for Mother's Day. That was the very next day. I was like, well, okay, well, that's how we're handling it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there are some upsides.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you talk to a lot of people that are members of the DDC, the Dead Dad Club. And I remember, like, I was talking to one guy. He's like, if I could just have one more conversation with my dad, if I could just get on the phone and talk to him for 5 minutes. And I was like, I don't know about that, because I think about every quick 5-minute phone call I had with my dad, and I would get off the phone just being so angry with everything he just said. It's just like, hey, how's it going? Hey, it's all right. Like, can I talk to mom? Oh, you want to talk to mom now? Like, it's just like 5-minute conversation with my dad would just make me go, yeah, it's probably best that he's gone.
Well, I do think that's a bold way to start a comedy act, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because it really gets everybody in a good mood in the audience.
Yeah, it is. It is fun to kind of start a show with dead dad jokes. I don't know. I like to start from below the ground floor of humor and
sure.
then just try and dig myself
just
out.
Just a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to try to even make it to the elevator. You consider that a success.
Yeah. And I didn't do stand-up for a bit after he died. It was odd because I just kind of wasn't doing stand-up. And then I realized it was because I didn't know who to try and prove wrong anymore.
Oh,
wow.
And he's back. Joe DeRay at the Irvine Improv. It's going to be Thursday night. Get your tickets. A quick break. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Joe DeRay in studio with us right now, comedian and podcaster and host. Don't forget, of course, the Mystery Science Theater 3000 Season 2 is available on Netflix. It's hilarious, Jonah.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
And you're making more, right?
Yeah, we're still waiting to hear back about it, but it's, you know, people seem to like the last season, so we're really stoked on it. Look, I'm pretty proud of it.
If Netflix says no to you, you shouldn't be being making those shows.
Don't say that.
I'm just saying that Netflix accepts all.
All right.
Well, they accept all that they own. They got rid of all their Marvel shows.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah.
Who's to say what's on their mind? They don't have to care. They're Netflix.
They're
a global company that we're in. Why would you take away this show? People liked it. It's like you're a blip. Like it's like they don't care. And they're great. And it's very happy to be part of the next Netflix family. I mean, here's the thing.
To have changed quickly.
I saw the flip in your head. I saw it.
I asked if I could go to their Golden Globes party. I was like, hey, I'm the host and lead of one of your shows that you didn't put a billboard up anywhere for. Can I come to your party and maybe get some free hors d'oeuvres? Silence. No, thank you.
I have learned too much about how Hollywood works right here.
Yeah.
You wear many hats, is my point. You do a lot of things.
And I stack them on top of each other. It's very fun. It's a party trick.
You're also in two different bands right now, Jonah?
Well, one's a vanity project where it's I just recorded punk versions of Weird Al songs.
And tell me again why we needed that?
No one needed it. But I it was just something I like playing guitar, but I don't like writing lyrics because I don't like being honest. But what are the lyrics I know? I know Weird Al lyrics, and so I would just do that.
Sure. You can just
exactly. And so I'll just sing those lyrics, not to the tunes or the chords or anything like that. And it just like I was like, and then my friend Zach from the band Fiddler, he's like, we should record these. And then I said, yeah, that's really dumb. That's a dumb idea. Mm-hmm. You know, I like my mantra in life is silly things taken seriously.
Yeah.
And so, like, I recorded it, and then Mike Park from Asian Man Records is going to be putting it out in August on a one-sided 12-inch vinyl.
A good use of space, a one-sided 12-inch?
Well, on the other side, we got an etching from my friend Dana Lechtenberg is doing, like, an etching on the other side of the...
I didn't know it was fancy. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
How many songs did you record?
Five. I did four Weird Al songs. I did Eat It, Dare to Be Stupid, Frank's 2000-inch TV, and Amish Paradise. And then I did a version of the Reptilicus rap from the first season of Mystery Science Theater.
And the band is called?
Well, it's just called Jonah. It's going to be under my name, Jonah Ray.
No, because your friend had such a great idea.
Well, that's the name of the album. Chantel Clerica is going to... We're calling it You Can't Call Me Al. So I also have a Paul Simon reference
in
there.
I don't know why I find so much joy in that, but I strong. Do.
What does your good friend Al think about all this?
He loves it. You know, some of the proceeds is going to go to an animal rights organization.
Awesome.
And he was like, yeah, man, that's really cool. It's like he thought it was funny. I sent him the stuff. He seems to be good. I mean, I don't
think
I've...
He has a good sense of humor.
Like, Weird Al's not going to publicly be mad at you.
No.
He's not I don't
if
think
he knows
mad
what's
bone
good
in,
for him,
right? There's not a mad bone in Weird Al's body.
Take you on.
Also, it would be the last thing I need. It's like Weird Al fans to come in. Yeah.
Honestly, the whole world would turn on you. Weird Al finally decides to speak out against someone.
Yeah.
And it's Jonah Ray.
And the only guys that got my back are Coolio and Paul McCartney.
Have you had the chance to see the Strings Attached tour yet?
No, I have not. I have my tickets for the LA show. I'm very much looking forward to that. I loved his last tour where he did all the kind of B-sides and originals.
It was amazing.
It was the best. It's the Weird Al show I've been waiting for my entire life.
Yeah, incredible. He's the absolute best there is.
He really is.
All right, so this other band, what's the other band all about?
It's called Pressers. It's just kind of a, you know, rock punk kind of band I did with Denver from the band Desaparecidos.
That's legit.
Yeah, and the other guy in the band is Cody Vodolato. He plays on Weird Al record, but he's also the singer and guitar player. He was also in Blood Brothers and then plays in a band with Nick Zinner called Headwound City. So it's the three of us.
Headwound City.
That's a great name.
Great name, right?
Good name.
Yeah, good hardcore band. Members of the Locust and Blood Brothers. It's a really good band.
What's your goal in, I don't mean you, I mean anyone in 2019 who's in a band with his friends? What do you expect? Do you do it just for fun?
Yes.
Because it's not a career anymore, right?
No, I mean, not for us. I mean, we can't even really go on tour. You know, Cody's he's like a transpo manager for The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. So it's like, and that's like a full-time huge gig. And so, you know, we're just doing it. It's like our dad band. It's our local band. It's our bar band.
Gotcha.
And if we get invited to a festival and I get to go see bands I really like, then that's pretty great.
Why not? Yeah.
I get to go see an Avail reunion.
He's the what manager on The Bachelor?
Transpo manager. Transpo is short for transportation.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so much Hollywood speak.
I know what I'm saying. It's true. Look behind the curtain with John Ray.
You have to dumb it down for us, if you don't mind.
Have you watched any of The Bachelor or Bachelorette?
I've never seen one episode of those shows. And I would even, because I used to write on The Soup when it was over, you know, E, the Joel McHale show. And I just, like, that was the first time I had to watch any of these reality shows. And I despise them. And I know a lot of my friends love them. Like, Jensen, you're into a lot of them.
I've given up over the last few years, but there was a time where I very much watched.
I remember when I met you, like, you brought it up, and I was like, I thought we cool people don't watch that stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought that's what we hate.
There's a hate watching element to it, though. There's a hate watching element.
There was a postmodern part of it. I think there was a time in reality TV when they became celebrities themselves, mm-hmm. and then it wasn't as fun. Yeah. But when you were just watching people, it was
Well, there was the big difference was, like, it was the real world, which is just, like, these random people.
Which was great.
And then it went into, like, Jersey Shore, I think, was the like,
it killed
the turning
it for
point.
You.
Yeah.
Would this be a good time, since we're on the topic? Jensen, your mom called in and left a message on the Kevin Bean Afro line
Yeah,
last
she had
night.
Promised that she was never going to watch
she
The
said
Bachelor
she was done.
Again. Yeah, and then
Because she was so frustrated with, in her words, the slut that they picked as the Bachelorette this time.
I found out
in
the same
her
time.
Words.
I really did find out the same time as you guys that she called in, so.
Which is terrible.
Sorry. There we go.
Let's hear from Haroldine. Jonah, this is Jensen's mom who left us a message. We've not heard this yet.
Hi, guys. It's Haroldine, Jensen's mom. Guess what? I had to watch The Bachelorette because I heard some things that were going on from people I know. So I had to watch it. And let me tell you something. She is unbelievable. She's no longer riding that rail of Slutitaville. She is very, very inappropriate.
Mm.
She was like laying on a pool table with a guy, and he was kissing her and rubbing her butt. She was on top of him. And then next thing, she's laying on a bed with another guy, kissing, and he's rubbing her butt. This girl is really got a problem.
Okay, stop right there. What does your mom think The Bachelorette is about?
What does she think the idea
of the show is, except that you date 25 men?
Because what she just described is every show.
It sounds like she thinks it's written by, like, David Chase or something, and that it just became lowbrow. I don't know.
How many butts can be rubbed in one episode?
Also, how is that even sexy? I'm going to rub your butt.
And also, in what scenario are you making out on a pool table? Have you ever made out on a pool table?
Yes.
Oh, really? All right, let's go back to Haroldine.
This girl is really got a problem. Big. She's got a big problem. And I want to ask you guys, she always gets a red nose. Does anybody know what that means? Is that, like, embarrassed or nervous or... It's not cold, but she gets like Rudolph, this red nose. I know I said I was done with this show, but I've got to tell you something. I'm done with this girl, and I'm not a prude, but she is definitely shockingly embarrassing. I don't know if I'm going to watch it again because the scene's for next week.
She's going to watch it again.
She's hook, line, and sinker.
Also, someone should tell your mom about cocaine.
Shows that she went bungee jumping naked. You heard me right. Naked bungee jumping with one of the guys. So you tell me that this is not a slutita? Anyway, have a great morning. See ya.
There they were, jumping off a bridge, bungee jumping, rubbing butts.
Right? Like they do?
Yeah, she's like, I might not watch, but... She's going nude bungee jumping! Like, she couldn't even hide her excitement. Yeah.
Why is she so upset about an adult woman who's in the dating pool making out with two guys?
That's the point of the show.
That's the
it's
whole
one
point.
Thing if she's like a slut shamer about, you know, her next door neighbor.
Sure, sure.
But this is the point of the television show.
Jonah Ray, you're missing all of this.
I don't think I am. I think I'm fine.
You think you're good? Okay.
This is as good as it gets. Just hearing, I'll just call Jensen's mom once a week.
Right.
Give me the rundown.
You want to hear a 60-year-old San Fernando Valley mom tell you about The Bachelorette.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree.
Jonah, do you have anything you watch on TV that you're embarrassed about at all? Any guilty pleasures?
No, I don't believe in guilty pleasures. I like it.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with that.
Like the only thing I'm like, it's like, I don't hate. I mean, like, I watch bad movies like on purpose. Like I love them. I think there's something to pull from everything. But my favorite show right now, Fosse Verdon.
Fosse Verdon's
a great show.
The miniseries,
yeah.
Now I miss that, but I hear that it is great. Is it campy?
Kinda as much. I mean,
it's as campy as it's allowing itself to be, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Because this is serious, real life stuff that happened.
It's real. It's real heavy, real good. But it's also probably one of the best directed and edited shows
it's
on
beautiful.
TV. Yeah, I really, really dig it. But yeah, I don't really watch anything too bad.
You know? All right. Yeah. I gotta see that. Thank you for the tip on that.
You watch the Tiny House Nation?
What's that?
Yeah, we'll talk off the air.
No, I'm good.
It's okay. Right.
That makes sense.
No further conversation needed.
I'm 6'5". Every house, the entire nation is a tiny house
you
nation.
You wouldn't like it.
Jonah, Irvine Improv, Thursday night.
Please go.
Anything special going on?
I'm going to have Paige Weldon, who I put out her records. She's a very funny stand-up comic. Chris Thayer is a very funny comic. He'll be there.
Funny.
I've been doing some of the Weird Al songs live. I'll be riffing on an old, educational short, Mystery Science Theater style.
Excellent. Oh, awesome.
I'll be talking about my dead dad.
Oh, awesome.
You know those jokes I said that seemed like they came up naturally in conversation? Oh, they were bits, and you'll hear them again.
Pretend they're new.
All the greatest hits. Jonah Ray at the Irvine Improv Thursday night at 8. Tickets are just $20. Improv.com/Irvine. You know we love you, Jonah. You're always welcome on the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for stopping by.
We have 60 seconds. Before we go,
before we go, apparently we have 60 seconds with Jonah Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
If you don't mind. All right.
57. 56.
No, it's a game.
You just say whatever comes to your head.
Great.
All right.
There we go.
If you could join the cast of any TV show, past or present, which show would you choose?
It would be The Simpsons.
Dream dinner date.
Not Hitler.
Okay. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No, it's a hot dog.
If animals could talk, which animal would be the biggest a-hole?
Oh, penguins.
What band name do you wish you used?
Like that actually exists?
Or just a great name that you are like, that's a great band name.
Putricide.
All right.
I like it.
Creepiest thing you could say to a stranger that you pass in the street?
You again.
Twizzlers or Red Vines?
Red Vines.
Yes, right.
Obviously.
Did you have a nickname growing up?
Bread Mouth.
All right. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Sure.
You don't care.
No, I don't.
Excellent. What do you say is your best trait?
Answering questions by stammering and thinking of something else that's good. My hair!
You can only bring one album to a deserted island. Which one?
It would be Dillinger Four's Midwestern Songs of the Americas.
Excellent.
There you go. Well done.
One guy in his car just went, yes!
Can we just real quick, bread what?
Bread Mouth.
Bread
Why?
Mouth.
It's one time my friend came to pick me up. We're going to go record shopping. And then my parents said, I said, I'm going to go get food. And then so they gave me a couple bucks for food. Mm-hmm. And then I got a bunch of pieces of bread to eat so I wouldn't have to be hungry. And I could use that money to buy records. And then my friend's like, why are you eating bread? I was like, oh, that's my new thing. I'm Bread Mouth. It's like, I'm always going to be eating bread.
And that's stuck.
I like it. You made it up. I like that.
Yeah. And then it was just a joke. And then everyone started coming Bread Mouth. I was like, I gotta lose weight.
True better.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Are you ready to zoom along the Pixar pier on the Incredi-Roaster? Nope, it's Incredi-Coaster is what it is.
I was wondering what happened.
Are you ready to live your adventure in a galaxy far, far away in the all-new land Star Wars Galaxy Edge? We've got your 4-pack of passes to the Disneyland Resort coming up between 9 and 9:30 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. So that's right around the corner. Don't go away. Allie's here. Time for What's Happening on a Tuesday.
What's going on?
We talked about this earlier, and I still feel like it's something we should look into.
What is going on?
Well, thanks for asking. Amazon is now selling a bracelet that delivers a 350-volt electric shock every time you commit your bad habit. That could be eating too much fast food, smoking, sleeping past your alarm, anything basically to discourage you from doing something that you don't like about yourself.
Turning off people's mics?
Turning off your mics. Every time you misbehave, you're supposed to administer the shock yourself. The idea being it rewires your brain, blah, 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 uncomfortable zap. We get it. However, this is the only way I think it could work. Your friends can also download an app that appoints them as digital guardians, able to give you a buzz if they spot you breaking the rules.
You think that makes it work? I would never do that. I would never let my friends have any control. What's happening? Is it dog snoring again?
That's Linus snoring. Okay. Yeah. $200, though. You wouldn't want us to be in charge.
No.
If, let's say you didn't turn a mic on. Right there.
No.
What you're saying is you don't trust us.
Right.
Put in the electric chair.
Or you don't trust yourself.
Because if you're...
If you trusted yourself, you'd never get zapped, Kevin.
If you had confidence in your ability, then...
Yeah.
Well, clearly I don't. You guys know that. Right up front.
I'm just saying, I am willing to spend $200, Kevin, if you will wear it and we can be in charge just for one day.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
But what if we promised to do it for real? Like, to not do it as a bit, but if you messed up, then we'd hit you.
If I mess up running the controls or something?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No.
Goddamn, Kevin.
Right?
Let me speak on behalf of my client here. Mm-hmm. What's the advantage for Kevin to say yes to this arrangement? What does he get out of this?
It's psychologically proven to help.
It just seems like a lose-lose.
Hmm. I think that that's a really sad look at Kevin from your eyes.
Yeah, he's a winner.
What we're saying is he would be so good at stuff. He would be paying extra attention to being on his best behavior.
So you don't think there's enough pressure on Kevin already to run the controls that he's running? You think he needs to jack
is
that
there
up?
Is pressure to run the controls? Oh, listen.
Oh, something wrong with Allie's bike.
What's going on? It's
weird.
It's
weird.
All right, I guess.
So this is how much on Amazon?
$200.
And you put it around your wrist and it zaps you.
Yeah.
All right, let's get one for Kevin. Okay. You've convinced me.
My lawyer just turned on me.
Yeah. You've convinced got the me. Worst lawyer Nerds. Ever. Well, sit tight, fans of The Hunger Games, because a new book is going to be coming out, released later this year, and Lionsgate, the studio behind the Jennifer Lawrence-led franchise of blockbuster films based on the books, is already in talks to develop the book as a movie. It's going to be a prequel set about 64 years before the events of The Hunger Games.
And who's hungry?
We talked about this earlier. It's shocking, but the four Hunger Games films have grossed a combined $2.9 billion at the worldwide box office.
That's pretty good.
That's amazing. Yeah. And Lionsgate has also licensed the film for theme parks, live concert tours. This is going to do pretty good.
Please, I'd rather sit in my bed, like, just staring at a wall.
Okay, I think you're in the minority on that.
I agree.
I think a lot of people will not only love a new book, but look forward to another movie.
It was PG, and there was Bush in it.
Okay, sir, I feel like you say that at very inappropriate times. Usually when we're talking about animated movies. So I guess this is a step up.
Sure.
So I appreciate it.
I want a good movie.
Okay, Kevin, we'll get you one. Some birthdays for you. Josh Dunn from 21 Pilots, Paul McCartney, Blake Shelton, and Richard Madden. And
you are listening to the world famous K-Rock, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
Bama Lama. By my Lou.
Right. Art Soriano from Bell won his 4-pack of 1-day, 1-park Disneyland Resort tickets. We've got them for you all day long here on the Kevin and Bean Show and the rest of the week as well. You can get another chance to win and get more details at krock.com. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening?
What's going on?
I figure you've been with us this long. You should be rewarded. Am
What's
I right?
What's going on?
What's going on is I want to give you a pair of tickets to the Gabriel Iglesias Beyond Fluffy World Tour.
That guy. What do you need him for?
He's the greatest, and we love him so very much. You get your choice of seeing him at Staples Center on December 27th.
Me like it.
Or Honda Center on December 28th.
Me like it.
Whichever one is more convenient to you and your place of residence. I would like to help you out. 1-800-520-1067. Just be caller 20, and you're going to get that pair of tickets to the Gabriel Iglesias Beyond Fluffy World Tour.
Call now.
Yeah, call now. You guys, Ariana Grande could be the next Catfish co-host. This is according to showrunner Nev Schulman. In an interview with TMZ, he said that his dream is to have the 25-year-old singer co-host with him, especially after finding out what a huge fan of the show she is.
So this is he
the
heard
story she, is he uh-huh. wants her to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The story is that people started sending him messages saying Ariana Grande is posting stories on her Instagram about watching Catfish.
Okay, first of all, let me back up a step. Catfish is still on the air?
It's still on the air. People are still getting catfished. I know.
There's no way that people can still be getting catfished once Catfish was on the air for 10 years. Because now everybody
knows.
Wrong,
sir. Wrong.
So wrong, Bean. Dina Lohan never met the guy she dated for years.
She did get lucky because it was a real person.
It was a real human.
But easily could have been catfished.
But we still don't know if he was a catfish because she never met him. He could have had none of the things he said he had.
Right, but at this point, what human in the world on the internet doesn't say, we're WhatsApping by noon tomorrow or this is over?
Lonely people that just want a human connection, Bean.
Okay.
It's happening. We took calls from people that were catfished recently in the past year. It's happening.
And how can Ariana Grande help?
Oh, here's the thing. So she wound up putting on her Instagram stories little clips of the show. And he went over to her Instagram and saw follow back and realized, oh, Ariana Grande was even following me. What a moment for Nev Schulman. Anyway, he really thinks he can get her to co-host when she's not so busy with the Sweetener Tour and wants her to come on the show.
I mean, I want her to come on this show, too.
Yeah, right.
We want Taylor Swift as a co-host.
That's
awesome.
What?
We'd take Taylor Swift as a co-host.
No, I don't think so.
Would we take Nick Cannon? Is he available?
No, he's busy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck with that, Nev.
All right. You guys, will the Emmys go host free this year? Interesting, especially...
Oh, yeah. Everyone agrees.
Dead silence. When I saw this, that... 3 months before the telecast. The Emmys are 3 months away? I feel like they were just on.
They're September every year.
Wow, that is shocking.
I feel like they were just on, but okay. They have not named anyone yet, and insiders say that the awards may go without a host for the first time since 2003. That's when the show aired on Fox, as it will again this year. Nominations for the Emmys will be announced on July 16th, which may be when they're going to make the host public. But
look, a lot of people enjoyed very much the host-free Oscars.
Yeah.
I think the Oscars would have been better had Jimmy Kimmel hosted, because I think he brings a lot of entertainment and comedy to that show. But they had success with it.
I thought it was the best Academy Awards in a decade, just because it seemed quicker and... It wasn't so hokey.
I really enjoyed the earnestness of Alicia Keys. I think
when she hosted the Grammys,
I think earnest hosting is the way to go.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I know that they looked at the ratings and the ratings were better than usual, but it also could have been a more appealing, more mass appeal Bachelor movies too. So we don't really have enough evidence to go on whether host free is automatically better than a host.
Can I give you a suggestion for a host?
Yes.
Kaiser Permanente?
Again, not a person, just a hospital.
I'd like to see that, though.
I will say this about Bean. You would not be good as a boss in entertainment, because they are so about knee-jerk reactions.
I know.
And seeing something so quick that they'd be like, nope, the ratings were up. People hate hosts. People hate human beings. Get rid of all human beings. But that is, no, you're totally right.
Empirically, though, if somebody comes to me and says, look, we have the Emmys coming up. Do you want no host? Have it clean, have it quick. Mm-hmm. Or do you want to put Dave Chappelle in there to entertain us and have us on the edge of our seats wondering what's going to happen
next? But let me just say this.
My money is on Dave Chappelle.
Agreed. But let me just say this. The number of people who would be great hosting the Grammys is pretty small.
Not a high number.
Pretty small. So if you can't get those people,
I think there's a lot of people who could do that show.
Do you?
I really do. I do. I mean, when you think about the Neil Patrick Harris's of the world and the Ellens of the world, I mean, there are a lot of people who have done great jobs hosting shows before. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm sure it'll be fine if they decide not to go with it. Seems like an opportunity for somebody to make it even more entertaining than it already is, just based on the awards themselves.
One more suggestion for host.
Steve.
Oh, he would be good. He's so busy,
though. Didn't even consider that.
Steve's great.
Because he's so busy with all the stuff that he's steving on.
Or Nick Cannon. Steve
would have to take some time off from our show, though.
Yeah.
To rehearse.
Yeah. Steve, we need him here to hit it. Guys, Shania Twain launched her first residency in Las Vegas 7 years ago. And since then, we've had everyone from Gaga to Blink to Aerosmith jump into that residency trend. Well, she's now back. She announced her return to Vegas for a new residency starting December 6th. She's going to have 23 performances for her Let's Go residency at Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino.
What's the tour called?
Let's Go!
Love it. Love it.
It's really not a great name for a tour. Let's Go! Tickets go on sale Friday.
I don't have any interest in seeing Shania Twain. I know she's talented and she's got a lot of hits, but she bores me.
Yeah.
We had her on Drop the Mic, and her whole team, showed up, and we had a writer that said to put wine. It was early, but still put wine in her trailer, I guess, to loosen up for wrapping, which makes some sense. And they dropped her off, and someone came up to us and went, "Is there wine in the trailer?" And I said, "Yeah, we had put it in." She says, "Can you double check?"
Wow.
And I said, "Absolutely." So we went in and we did it, and we looked at it, and I came back. She said, "Can you triple check?"
What?
And I said, "What?"
She said, "Happening I just need on that you to staff.
Really look at it." And I went in there and I said, "I looked at it, and this is the name of it, and whatever." She goes, "Thank you." And then she sort of just walked away.
Wow.
And I was like, that's the craziest experience I've ever had with a handler.
Wow.
Terrified.
But then Shania Twain was nice and sweet and didn't care. I mean, I don't know if she drank the wine. I don't know anything, but it was someone made me check three
Listen,
times.
That person messed up a wine order once.
And paid, it is. Paid for
she
it.
Paid yeah. dearly.
She's the bread mouth of Shania
yes.
Twain. Stuck with her forever.
Yes. Very disturbing. Mm-hmm. You guys, the Jonas Brothers' new album, Happiness Begins, has grabbed the number one spot on the Billboard 200 chart after its release on June 7th. And according to Nielsen, the Jonas Brothers album marks the biggest debut of 2019.
Wow.
What?
Shocking numbers.
Biggest debut. Total consumption, 414,000 units, 68 million streams. That surpassed Ariana Grande's Thank You Next. Like, that's... Well, crazy.
I have a clip from the new Jonas Brothers album.
Okay.
Oh, great.
From
sure.
one of the new songs, if you'd like to hear it.
Yes,
sure.
please.
2, 3, 4.
So there's no wonder that people went out and picked that
That's
up.
That's crazy. That I picked excellent. One out, too. It's later in the album, but it's this one.
Somebody once told me the world was going to roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shade. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead.
Wow. They're really changing things up, aren't they?
Okay, let's be clear, though. That first clip was I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson, and that was Fred Willard playing a little band at a funeral, which is one of the funniest skits I've ever seen in my life. Who was that singing?
that was just
some random a cappella group?
Yeah, that I found.
Oh, I kind of wish that was real.
It's real.
I know.
It does exist.
I wish it was the Jonas Brothers. Maybe it's Lufus and Shark, the Jonas Brothers we don't talk about.
Stonky?
Uh-huh.
Stonky Jonas.
Yeah.
This is Stonky Jonas' song. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Barocco's tacos. Barocco's tacos. Barocco's tacos. Taste the change.
Jensen.
He's doing the best he can.
Jensen.
Tacos, burritos too. And even a chimichanga just for you.
That's Clownvis.
Oh. Well, still good.
I've got Zeppo Jonas's track.
Oh,
Zeppo.
Oh,
Zeppo.
Barely Zeppo, talk about him.
Yeah, he has a song at the end of the album, and it goes like this.
I love spicy food almost as much as I hate diarrhea.
Yeah, Zeppo is kind of doing his own thing.
Wow. It's meaningful, though.
It's a real look into...
Right?
Zeppo.
I'm going to play this song, and I think it's the Jonas Brothers, but you tell me if it's not, because it was mismarked on Napster.
Okay.
Somebody once told me the world was
that's them, right?
That is
them. I hate the sharpest tools in the shade.
Oh, I miss
so
Napster.
So no wonder the album is number one, is
yes,
what I'm saying.
Yes, that's what we're saying.
Right?
Absolutely, yeah. Some birthdays. Richard Madden.
Right?
Right.
Right? He's in Rocket Man.
Mm-hmm.
Bodyguard. Yeah, go ahead.
Somebody once told me the world was gonna roll me. I hate the sharpest tool.
This was the best part of Rocket Man. Yeah.
It was when they covered that.
It was really good.
Amazing. Blake Shelton and, I mean, former Beatle. Are you ever really a former Beatle? You're always a Beatle, right?
I think so. I think it's like governor. So. I think it's a title that you keep for life, yeah.
Well, happy birthday, Paul McCartney. Go ahead, Kevin.
Okay. I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to do this again, Sir Paul, but thank you so much for the time. It's a real honor to have you on the program today.
That's a really nice interview. So, I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Let's make it a date.
Thank you, Paul.
Bye-bye. See you guys. Bye.
Oops. You hung up on Paul McCartney.
Well, he was saying goodbye.
We'll never know.
Asshole.
We'll never know, Kevin.
I mean, He was saying goodbye, is what I heard a guy say.
That's what's happening.
Sad bassoon indeed.
Thanks, Ellie. And your drive home tomorrow morning at all new Kevin and Bean Show. You got somebody fired. We're going to talk to you. We have Tony Hale in the studio.
Can't wait.
Talking about Forky. Toy Story 4. Love him so much. And speaking of people we love, Shia LaBeouf.
Actual cannibal?
Yes.
I have an apology I have to give him.
Yes, you do.
And I believe it. It's not just because I'm going to be afraid to be in the same room as him. I really, truly believe in the apology I'm going to give him.
All right.